Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Nick and Cecil. Here's former Bronco Nick Ferguson and DenverFan.com's Cecil Lennon.
I'm a river by morning.
All right. Let's get out to that Johnson Auto Plaza hotline and talk to former Chargers and Dolphins wide receiver Greg Camarillo joining us now. Greg, it's Nick and Cecil on the Fan. How's it going? Thanks for joining the show tonight, man.
Nick and Cecil, thanks for having me on. Pleasure to be with you.
Pleasure to talk to you as well. And I was going back and forth with Nick over one of your tweets from just about a week ago, talking about football players struggling when their careers are over. Nick and I have talked a lot about it. We tackle the hard issues on this show. So let's open that up. What prompted you to take to Twitter and to go on this thread that even Twitter itself picked up and said, hey, former NFL receiver is talking about, you know, how players struggle after the game is over?
Yeah, they weren't new thoughts. It was just, I retired in 2012 and then, kind of started my reflection process then. And so a lot of those thoughts are from my time transitioning out of the NFL. But what prompted it was the death of Vincent Jackson, a former teammate. We both came in as rookies together in 2005 with the San Diego Chargers. We're camp roommates together, hung out together, played together. And then to lose a friend. And I don't know his circumstance. I can't speak on his struggles, but it prompted me to just share the struggle that I've experienced, the struggle that I've seen teammates experience. And I didn't quite realize that I was sharing something that most people have never discussed. But it was great to hear the positive feedback that I got from Twitter and then in friends and teammates reaching out as well.
Well, Greg, why is it that you feel, in your opinion, that a lot of guys, no matter how long they played in the league, they find it very difficult transitioning from the game to just kind of being a regular, everyday guy?
Yeah. And the interesting part is I don't think fans quite grasp the concept because you see these warriors, you see these gladiators on Sunday, these tough, strong guys that can fight off anything. And then you also see they're making millions of dollars. So how much trouble could a guy that makes $1 million really have? Yet guys struggle, and we only really see it when you hear about a death and all that. But to me it was, a loss of identity, a loss of routine, a loss of self-esteem attached to those. And then the feeling of, I retired when I was 30, and having reached a peak in my life before 30, what was going to come up in the future that could compare to life in the NFL, that could compare to these emotional highs that I had just experienced? And that for me, that was the toughest part. How am I going to, replicate in these upcoming years the joys that I've just finished experiencing?
Greg Camarillo, former NFL wide receiver, joining us, Nick and Cecil on the Fan. And Greg, as men struggle, for whatever reason, to talk about mental health issues or depression or what have you. And your tweets really hit a note with people out there. And I guess kind of want to ask you a general question. Why is it that men specifically struggle with these issues or struggle just to talk about them amongst ourselves, with our families, online, whatever?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's something we're taught early on. The men aren't supposed to be emotional. Men are supposed to kind of suck it up, don't talk about your problems. I don't know the history of that, but I'm sure that goes way back. But then it's magnified in football because it's the ultimate team sport. And Nick, when you're going through something on your own, you put it off to the side for the benefit of the team. It's the we, not the me. And that's great for sports. If my, calf is hurting, I suck it up and I power through it and I try to win the game for the team. Or if I'm, going through something at home, I try to forget about it while I'm playing football and suck it up for the benefit of the team, which in football, totally fine. But when it comes to mental health, when it comes to substance abuse, when it comes to real life, that doesn't work. And I'm not saying, don't be tough. If, you got a hangnail and you don't want to, you want to go cry to your friend about your hangnail. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when there's big problems, when guys have big difficulties that you can't just power up and fight through, that it's it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to get help. It's okay to hit your boy up and be like, man, I'm having a tough day. And I think that's where we need to progress as football players and as men.
Well, Greg, now how do you typically answer this question? Because when you are a former player, it comes every single time you come across someone you might have known from high school or someone knew you as a player. But the question is, hey man, what are you doing now? How did you handle that question when you finally retired?
Oh, man, that was one of the toughest ones because, you know, as a football player, to make it to the NFL, you have to be a highly driven, motivated human being. So you're achieving things your whole life. Everybody wants to talk to you about football. You know, during the season, it's, oh, man, you know, great game last week. What are you looking for in this game? Oh, great catch, Greg. You know, your family, your significant other, everyone around you wants to talk about football. And then suddenly that's gone. You don't have football to talk about. People always ask what's next. And for me, being a guy that was driven to do well in college, driven to do well in the pros, that was the hardest part. One of the hardest parts was not having something to respond to say that. And it kind of took a blow to my self-esteem. Like, without these goals that I'm pushing for, you know, who am I? What am I worth? What do I talk about even? And so that was a difficult part. Fortunately, I had my first daughter like a month after I retired. And so I got to pour my energy into being a dad. I read every dad book in the world. I was YouTubing how to change a diaper. So I poured my energy into that.
Nice.
There's some great tutorials out there, man.
YouTube is great for anything. I go, hey, G broke down? Oh, I'm going to YouTube it and see how to change that part out. It's Greg Camarillo joining us here. Nick and Cecil on the fan. He's on that Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Greg, appreciate your time. Appreciate your insight, man. And my final question for you is, undrafted to the NFL. My man Nick Ferguson here played a decade coming out undrafted from Ja Tech. You came out of Stanford, of course, and Wikipedia says you said no to Harvard. Is that right? Like, oh my God. Like, okay, so you're on Stanford. You made it to the NFL. What was that love that drove? Because every night, Nick and I talk about the passion for this game, what it takes. Undrafted guys, y'all are just different. And I say that with a lot of love, man. But y'all are just different because you don't have those doors open because you were a first-round pick. So what drove you to want and to love this game like you do?
Yeah, well, it was kind of not having those doors open. That was my drive. I was never the fastest guy, never the biggest, never the strongest guy, which, you know, you hear about that Rudy type of story all the time, but for me, it was being that underdog and having to fight harder fueled me to fight harder, knowing that I was going to have to earn every opportunity that came my way. Like, it just lit the internal fire to keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting. I eventually won a scholarship because I keep fighting. I got some playing time because I kept fighting. Same thing in the NFL. They gave me an opportunity to try out with the Chargers, and that underdog mentality of I have to prove my worth here caused me to work hard, and, you know, fortunately it paid off for me and for Nick.
Well, you know what? It definitely has. I mean, I've come across a lot of, undrafted guys, Chris Harris Jr. and Philip Lindsay, guys who I adore because I know what that struggle is, just like you know what that struggle is. But on the field itself, wins and losses can be measured. But once we walk away from the game, how is it that you, now looking at your life now, measure, okay, well, what's a winning success for you now?
Man, that is an outstanding question that I don't necessarily have the answer to. So in football, it was, did I bust my rear hard enough every day? And you can normally look yourself in the mirror and be like, I gave it everything I had in that workout. I gave it everything I had in that practice. And that doesn't really work in real life. I'm an academic counselor for student athletes at the University of San Diego, and I can't look at myself and be like, you know what? I killed those emails today. I did a great job. Okay? You know, it doesn't really work. Or, you know, like, dude, I changed the hell out of a diaper today.
No
trace of anything left. And I'm still figuring that out. You know, I teach my kids to do your best every day, and I'm not 100% sure how you measure that. And that's something as you can hear, I have a kid crying in the background.
Yeah, so. Daddy, daddy.
I'm gonna do better. I got to do better today myself. But, you know, that's one of the hard parts about transitioning out of football is you don't have that little measuring stick every day that competition provides.
Well, man, I know you. I hear the little one in the background. I know what that sounds like, and daddy duty calls. So, Greg, man, definitely appreciate the fact that you gave us some time and then you put out your information on social media. We got to stay connected. We got to keep our brothers connected because there's a lot of guys who are trying to figure out what that next thing is, and we have to help them figure out what's winning off the field for them. So, hey, man, you're always welcome here on the Nick and Cecil Show, and thanks for giving us some of your time.
Awesome. I appreciate it, fellas. Good chatting with you.
There we have him on that Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Greg Camarillo, former NFL wide receiver. And, Nick, I saw you shaking your head when he's talking about how it's the fact that people will just doubt you.
Yes. It is. If you ask any person who is, no matter what the sport is, that they've come into the league undrafted. I mean, when individuals always say, well, you're going into the draft or whatever, you got a boulder on your shoulder. No, man, it's the size of the Rocky Mountains. Because so many people have told me what was not possible. So that's why we attack the field. We just like we attack life. Like to me, like tomorrow is not guaranteed, right? That's the reason we've seen Chris Harris Jr. perform the way that he had. Rod Smith perform the way that he had. Philip Lindsay perform the way that he has because no one really believed in them. Now, they gave them an opportunity to bring him into the building, but you still had to put up a shut up and go out and be productive.
What does it take for a successful offseason for one George Payton? And are you all setting yourself up for a letdown if Deshaun Watson does not get traded here? That's next.